Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's Eve here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Get at us on the Dr. Pepper Twitter line at Mike Golic Jr. and at Chris Canty 99. The NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as Austin Rivers and the Nuggets host Anthony Simons and the Blazers. Presented by Indeed, coverage begins at 9:30 Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. And Gojo, since we're talking NBA, we got to go out to the Goodyear Hotline and bring in Mr. NBA, ESPN's NBA insider, Brian Windhorst. And Wendy, I want to start with the news from the Blazers with Damian Lillard. He's scheduled to have surgery on that abdominal injury. And I wanted to ask you, how does this affect his long-term future in Portland? And did Portland miss their opportunity to maximize Lillard's trade value if they indeed decide to move on from him?
How about that promo you just read featuring Anthony Simons with the Blazers? Talk about something we didn't expect to be hearing in January on a Blazer game. You know, this is not a season-ending injury for Dame, but it's a season-ending situation. And, you know, Neil O'Shea, who has since been fired, their general manager, obviously over the last couple of years, you know, 2 years ago they made the, I guess it's going to be 3 years ago now, they made the conference finals. And they weren't competitive. They lost 4-0 to the Warriors, but kind of thought they were competitive. And he got asked this question, you know, would you trade T.J. McCollum? You know, what about Dame? And he was like, look, we have a team. It's a winning team. It's hard to build a winning team in Portland. And they just, they rolled the dice that this team would still have room to grow, and it didn't. It really kind of flatlined. And so they have an opportunity now. This is an opportunity. This is not an injury that should deeply impact Dame's career. There has been lots of guys who've had sports hernia surgery who have come back and been very productive. So they have this rest of this season that they can do a little bit of a reset. They don't need to rebuild, but they need to reset. And they do have a couple of guys on their roster that I think they should look to trade. Robert Covington, Yusef Nurkic, maybe Larry Nance. McCollum is a tough one right now. He's recovering from a very serious injury. He's owed $70 million the next 2 years. I'm not sure the time is right. But let me just take you back to last year. The Toronto Raptors were faced with a similar situation. They were coming off a title and then the second round of the playoffs. They thought they were going to have a good year. Two of their best players, Pascal Siakam and Kyle Lowry, get hurt. They basically shut down the last quarter of the season. Next thing you know, they have a number four pick. They draft a guy in Scotty Barnes that changes their entire outlook going forward. That's what the Blazers need to do. They need to trade a few pieces, shut down, keep their draft pick because it's lottery protected. Otherwise, it goes to Chicago. See if you can get another player and come back next year with a healthy Dame and a different outlook.
So, Brian, if that can be a clear path forward for the Blazers based off this recent unfortunate news here, what's the path look like going forward, if any, for the Los Angeles Lakers, who have continued to struggle? Russell Westbrook's last four games have been abysmal here. Is there anything the Lakers can do before the trade deadline that improves their situation at all this season?
So the Lakers, from what I am told, the Lakers were one of the teams that made an offer for Cam Reddish from the Hawks. So I do think that they are looking to try to add to this roster. Now, they have very limited assets that they can trade. They're not trading Anthony Davis and LeBron James. And Russell Westbrook, they can't trade him for value right now. They would not be able, in my opinion, to get back a player that helps them in that trade. Everybody else on their roster is on minimum contract, with the exception of Talen Horton-Tucker and Kendrick Nunn. So you're probably looking at trading Kendrick Nunn or Talen Horton-Tucker or both. They also have one first-round pick that they're allowed to trade. The 2027 first-round pick. Those are the three pieces that they're holding. So I don't know what they offered for Cam Reddish. They would have probably had to offer Kendrick Nunn, and they do have some second-round picks that they can offer. So I do think that they are trying. And, you know, Covington is a guy that I'm sure that if he does become available, they will take a look at. That's the type of player that they need. So, but ultimately, they're going to have to improve from within. So first you get Anthony Davis back. Hopefully you get healthier on the perimeter. And they're going to have to make some tough decisions with Russell Westbrook. I really believe that. I know that this is a difficult thing to say, but it's the reality. I'm not so sure that if you're in a close game at the end, especially if you're behind and you need shooting, I'm not sure you should have Russell Westbrook out on the court. And that would be painful to do, and it would be difficult for Coach and Frank Vogel's situation to do it. But I'm not, you know, last night is an example. They're down four with 2 minutes to go. The Kings are not guarding him. They're saying, Russ, please shoot. And they may have to look at that. They may have to do something that is uncomfortable because they're a 500 team with a difficult schedule coming up. They need to win 50-50 games. And right now, Russ isn't helping them a lot in those situations.
Talking with ESPN NBA insider Brian Windhorst on Canty and Golic Jr. And Wendy, you're not painting a rosy picture for my Los Angeles Lakers, but one other franchise that's not really rosy right now with one of their superstars is the Philadelphia 76ers. Rich Paul from Clutch Sports met with the Sixers brass, Daryl Morey and Elton Brand, yesterday. Can you tell us more about what came out of that meeting and what can we expect about Ben Simmons and his future in Philly?
Well, look, guys, if you were a ticket scalper and you had the best tickets out of any scalper on the corner, and it was 2 hours before game time, are you lowering your price for those tickets?
Nah.
Rhetorical question. You're not,
nah.
Right?
Nah.
So they have the best guy available on the market, Ben Simmons. Now, will there somebody else come on the market between now and early February? Maybe. But right now, they're holding the best ticket. So it's only January 12th or 13th or whatever it is. There's no incentive right now for them to lower their asking price. And so there isn't anybody willing to pay it. They're going to stand on that corner and hold that star in their hand and wait for the phone to ring. And yeah, they're going to make some calls. Yeah, they're going to say they're going to try to look for things. But I keep having people come to me and ask me, well, how about this trade? How about that trade? You know, they have no incentive right now to lower their ask, and that's basically what. You know, Ben wants. Ben wants to be traded. He wants to be traded 3 months ago. But that's where they're at. And Daryl Morey has expressed that they're willing to wait until the summer. Now, that's a debate because, you know, at the end of the day, even the best ticket, if it expires as soon as kickoff comes, if it's 5 minutes to kickoff, you may take a different price for that ticket. And that's what everybody's waiting to see. And we'll see if Daryl Morey really has the iron guts to let this whole season pass to the guy sitting on the sideline. That's a debate. But a debate on them lowering their price right now isn't on the table.
Certainly not going to be the case here right now, especially Daryl Morey understanding that value and that power that Brian Windhorst just described. Wendy, we always appreciate the time with all this busy news going on here. We'll talk to you very soon. Thank you, sir.
Enjoy your day, guys.
Brian Windhorst, again, you can check out ESPN NBA Insider and part of the Hoop Collective podcast. No need to scalp tickets, by the way, when you've got Vivid Seats. This hot ticket is brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn rewards with every purchase. Vivid Seats Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live. And man, oh man, Chris, I know that was hard for you as a Lakers fan to sit there and hear the way he talked about Russell Westbrook. And it complicates it even more because of how close him and LeBron James are. Like, we know what the relationship was like between these two that landed Russ in Los Angeles with LeBron. And this is going to be something that, for James, who is as hyper-cognizant of his own perception as anyone in the sport and his legacy, that's a cold reality they may be facing very soon.
Yeah, it's an ugly situation right now in L.A., and none of the pieces seem like they fit together, and LeBron James is the one that really made the moves this offseason to put this group of guys together. It's a lot of guys that are past their prime, but we know LeBron James doesn't like playing with young players, and yet the guys that are really stepping up for the Lakers and giving them a little bit above and beyond what they expected preseason are the younger players. So, yeah, for Frank Vogel to make the call to take Russell Westbrook off the court in crunch time, I don't know if LeBron James is going to give him that latitude, afford him that level of autonomy, because Bron did advocate for Russ to be a part of his team. He got Kuzma up out of there in order to bring over the Brody, and the results just haven't been there. And the Lakers, as a result of having Westbrook on the team, are one of the worst teams when it comes to turnovers in the NBA. They rank 25th. So I don't know how they fix all the different issues that they have going on. Health is certainly a part of it, But that was one of those things that should have been baked in given the composition of this roster and how old some of these guys are.
The struggle is incredibly real in Los Angeles right now, in Portland, as we near just passing now the midway point of this 2021-22 NBA season. Coming up next, though, let's look forward towards the 2022 NFL playoffs here. We will check in with the foremost expert on the New England Patriots dynasty here, the man in the arena expert himself, Chris Canty, on if this is Bill Belichick's best coaching job in this 2021 season. Next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Super Wild Card Weekend on deck. Only a day away, Gojo. It's Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty, we're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. We want you to hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, that's 888-729-3776, on what you think is the likeliest upset on Super Wild Card Weekend. And one of the games that a lot of people are going to have a lot of focus on is an AFC East matchup between the Bills and the Patriots. And Gojo, this is the third time that these two teams are going to meet this season. And from a player that has experience in competing against a team three times in one season, let me tell you, that third time around, especially if you won the first two, not necessarily the easiest to prepare for when you start talking about breaking down the game film and developing a game plan.
Yeah, Chris, walk people through that right now, because I think looking from the outside in this matchup, this is the rubber match, right? We had the Patriots win this game on the road in Orchard Park, going to that game that was in the wind tunnel earlier this season. We went out to Foxborough. The Bills got a win on that one. Josh Allen went off in that game. So what's the tendency for teams heading into this third game to maybe overthink some things, try and change too much if you're all of a sudden facing a familiar opponent again?
Well, you got to do what you do, right? There's a reason why you have staples built into your offensive and defensive systems. It's because your personnel is really, really good at it. So the one thing that coaching staffs do is sometimes they try to overthink it, or they put too much into the game plan, and they don't allow their players to play fast. And when you talk about playoff football, there's always an uptick in the overall speed of the game. So you got to make sure that you do have some wrinkles that the team hasn't seen before, just to give them some variance so they can't key in on everything that you're doing. But you can't go so far away from what your staples are where you put your players in uncomfortable positions. So I think that's the balance, that's the give and take when it comes to preparing to face off against a team for the third time.
And so for this matchup in the third time here, everyone's wondering, what's it going to be here? Is it going to be a game that we saw largely affected by weather here, the Patriots physically beating out the Bills on the road, or what we saw in the second go-round, Josh Allen being able to make more plays through the air with his legs? The one factor, again, that pops up in all of this is weather. It is supposed to be sub-zero temperatures here, a cold one, as they travel out to meet the Bills Mafia. Bill Belichick, the Patriots head coach, talked about not being concerned.
We've practiced, in just about everything we could, any type of conditions we could have, so, and played in, quite a few as well. So there's no way to turn the temperature down or up or anything else. It is what it is out there, and I have a lot of confidence in our players, and I'm more worried about the Bills than the weather. I think that the Bills are what we have to focus on, and that's who we have to beat. The weather is the weather.
Chris, that's kind of where I fall on all of this, too. Bill Belichick delivers it a lot better than I ever could. But in this matchup, as long as wind is not going to be the determining factor, I understand, man. Playing out in the cold, I tell people all the time, that ain't football weather. Playing in the cold sucks. Hitting guys every play up close and personal sucks. Everything hits a little harder and feels a little bit worse in all of this. But all of that being said, we saw when the Bills had a full complement of their offense and were able to spread out this Patriot defense here, you got the best of Josh Allen, the downfield decision maker, but I think even more importantly, Josh Allen, the very mobile threat. 12 carries in that second game that the Bills won. I think that has to be the difference again. You want that 6'5", 240-pound guy running downhill at you if you're a guy in the secondary. Doesn't sound like a great time.
No, it doesn't, but that's why offensive coordinator Brian Daboll is going to have to not handle Josh Allen with kid's gloves. He's going to have to take off the bubble wrap and allow his quarterback to be a difference maker with running the football as well as what he does in the passing game. I think that has to be an essential part of their game plan in order for the Bills to be able to have success against this Patriots defense. Now, as far as the weather is concerned, Gojo, even though it might not be windy, the cold is always going to be a factor. And with the temperature hovering around 0 degrees, that football is going to feel like a brick. It's going to be slick, and so ball handling is going to be at a premium. That's receivers, that's running backs, that's quarterback center exchange. And so when we start talking about the overall complexion of the game, I think it favors the team that plays a more physical brand of football, and that would be the New England Patriots when you compare the two in this matchup. I like the fact that it's going to be cold because, as you mentioned, when you hit guys when it's colder, it stings a whole lot more. And teams that are about that life are going to have a decided advantage when you're playing in that kind of cold. We're not just talking about below freezing. We're talking about 0 degrees. That means the water is freezing before you can squeeze it from the squirt bottle into your mouth. That's the kind of cold we're talking about. So I think it favors the New England Patriots in terms of being able to, you know, create the kind of game script or complexion of the game where they can have a path to victory. The Bills are clearly the most talented team in this matchup, but I think the overall physicality from the New England Patriots could be the equalizer.
At Chris Caney 99, at Mike Golic Jr. on the Dr. Pepper Twitter line, let us know who's got the advantage heading into this weekend here. The rubber match, Patriots and Bills, part of Super Wild Card Weekend. I'm going to get out of this segment before Christine Lisi thinks about coming in here and potentially shanking me if I say the wrong thing about her beloved Buffalo Bills. Y'all saw the rant yesterday. I don't want any part of problems with the one and only Christine Lisi, ESPN Radio's foremost Buffalo Bills fan. Coming up next, though, let's talk to someone who is firmly about that life. One of Chris Canty's former teammates, Gold Jacket All-Star DeMarcus Ware, going to join us and let us know what the future might look like for the Dallas Cowboys head coach if things don't go according to plan this postseason. We'll get to that after this word from Vivid Seats. Now, with the safe return of live events, you can actually be there to catch all the action in person with Vivid Seats. That's right. Every alley-oop slam, every one-timer, every sideline grab can now be experienced live. And with Vivid Seats rewards, you can earn rewards like free tickets. All you got to do is collect stamps, redeem, and repeat. It is that easy. From upper level to courtside, Vivid Seats has you covered for all the events that matter to you. So, grab your tickets today and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Former Cowboys defensive end Marcus Ware joins us. DeMarcus Ware joins us next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
This is America's team. There's a lot of pressure and responsibility that goes along with being America's team. Every year we read the headline numerous times. It's their year. It's their year. Is this your year?
For sure.
What a strike from Dak Prescott.
Excited about the way that we finish this regular season, but none of it matters now. Line them up. We're ready to go.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline, and I'm excited to go out to the Goodyear Hotline right now to bring on my former teammate, Super Bowl champion, the best pass rusher to ever come out of Troy State University. I don't care what OCU Mignora has to say. And now, Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist DeMarcus Ware. And Weezy, before we get into Super Wild Card Weekend and our Dallas Cowboys playing the 49ers, I got to ask you, how does it feel being a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Dude, thank you for the introduction, man. And guess what? I am the best pass rusher to come out of Troy University.
Hello, it's one of those things, Chris.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, man, you know how when we out there and we played, man, we always wanted to be the best, and we played that way every play. But now that play, winning the Super Bowl, playing for 12 years, it can be enshrined forever, and that story can be told forever, right? That's what we want. We wanted to etch our name in stone in the NFL forever, and in the Dallas Cowboys, you know, books forever, and I did that. And so it feels great to even be in this moment right now. So, I mean, there's no words that can describe it, and I mean, feeling really good about it right now.
DeMarcus, let's go all the way back to the beginning, because we were just looking at your guys' 2005 Cowboys draft class with you and our friend Marcus Spears, Chris Canty, Jay Ratliff. What were you thinking when you first met, specifically our guy Chris Canty here, way back when you guys were rookies for the Cowboys?
You know, to be honest with you, I really read about his story, and I said he didn't get drafted high enough, right? And it's one of those things where, you know, things happen before the draft and so on and so forth. But when I saw Chris Canty, I've never seen a human so big before in my life. I'm not even kidding you. I mean, I've seen 6'6", and so on and so forth. But, like, Chris, when he put those shoulder pads on and to see just the presence he brought out there on the football field and playing with him as a rookie, I was like, this dude's going to be great.
I'm just saying, you had your highest sack total in the season when I was playing right next to you. I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there and take a little bit of credit for that.
Hey, listen, you were taking all those double teams for me, man. You were taking all those double teams for me.
My man. Talking with Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist DeMarcus Ware. And DeMarcus, going back to when you first got drafted to the Dallas Cowboys and Bill Parcells is asking you to get Gatorade in between for water breaks and he's calling you OG. When did you realize that you were going to be a really good player in this league?
I think it was one of those things where it was a team thing first. And, you know, when we got to that point where we won, and I actually got into the playoffs a couple of times and we lost. It was one of those things where it was like the team was coming together, right? But then it was a point to where when I looked beside me, it was Marcus Spears, it was Jay Ratliff, it was you, and I was like, we are like the Monstars out here. There was nothing that nobody could do to us at any time, any point in time, and when we played. And I knew that we were going to be great as a unit, right? But then individually, when I got out there and I had that mindset that no matter what they called, no matter if it was pass play, if it was a run play, I knew that I was going to make that play. Like, I just knew something was special, but I held it to myself. Because, yeah, you know how I played, Chris. I'm a humble dude, man. And I just got out there and played for the best for the guys that were out there with me. And so I just knew from that point when I was out there just making plays and not even having to study or anything, everything was off of feel. You know, when you have that juice. When you have that juice, it doesn't matter what they're doing. You just get out there and playing and making plays.
9-time Pro Bowler, 4-time All-Pro, and a member of the All-2000s team, DeMarcus Ware, with us on the Goodyear Hotline. DeMarcus, a lot of people looking at the current front seven for the Cowboys on defense that way, and Micah Parsons has been the story his rookie season so far for them. Why do you think he's been able to have that kind of success that you're describing so early in his NFL career?
I think he's one of them guys that listen. I mean, when you get a first-round draft pick, they usually come in a little bit arrogant, being a first-round draft pick. Don't know how to take on the NFL stardom. But he's always, in talking to him, I mean, I had lunch with him yesterday. He has that, it's like a really cool, calm mentality, but like a lion-type feel of how he plays on the football field, saying, I want to make all the plays anywhere. I want to get out there and do what I need to do to help the team out. So he's putting himself second for something bigger than himself as a rookie. And when I was teaching and mentoring him this summer, when I saw him come around the corner, Chris, you know when they jump off of that ball, he jumped off faster than I did, right? Jumped the count. He started bending and boring, meaning going up under that tackle. Dude, what I'm talking about, this dude is low. And when I'm talking about low, like a low rider car going around the corner with three wheels in the air, right? And then getting to the quarterback and finishing. So when I got to see that, I was like, this dude don't know exactly what he has. And when he turns it on, he's going to be a great player.
Weezy, earlier this week, Jerry Jones did an interview with The Athletic, and he said it's unquestionable that it's Super Bowl or bust for this Cowboys team. And I got to ask you, who does that statement put more pressure on? Does it put more pressure on Mike McCarthy or more pressure on Dak Prescott going into Wild Card weekend?
I think that puts a lot more pressure, not on McCarthy. I mean, he's there. I mean, he's getting them to where they need to be, right? I mean, last year it was COVID. Okay, cool. But he's already had that improvement season. He's already let everybody know that, hey, I'm a coach that's proven, and I can prove to you that we can make it late in the playoffs. But guess what? Now it puts all that pressure on Dak. Dak's made it in the playoffs, lost against Green Bay. Now he's back into the playoffs again after a huge injury. And now everybody's looking at him and saying, is that the quarterback that's actually going to take us, not just get us to and through the playoffs, but get us to the ship? So I feel like that puts a lot more pressure on Dak because he is still proving himself this season from this huge injury.
It's certainly going to be one of the most exciting sequences and headlines to watch heading into this postseason. Also going to be excited to watch, though, when inevitably we hear DeMarcus Ware's name announced as a Pro Football Hall of Famer, the Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. DeMarcus, we appreciate the time. Best of luck with everything. We have no doubt we are going to see that bust in Canton very, very soon.
Man, thank you so much, man. Thank y'all for having me on the show.
Awesome stuff here. Chris Canty's former teammate, DeMarcus Ware, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. Chris, I am glad to hear a future Pro Football Hall of Famer describe his first encounter with you the same exact way I describe my first encounter with you. I am glad I was not the only one that felt very, very small standing next to Chris Canty.
I will say this. DeMarcus Ware made me feel very unathletic standing next to him. I told you the story before. But this dude, when we got down to Dallas, they put us through a little mini combine during rookie minicamp, and he ran a 4.4 on grass in cleats.
Oh.
Unbelievable. Freak of nature, 250 pounds, could scratch his knees standing up. Like, that's just how athletic and how gifted this dude was. And he talks about Micah Parsons in that three-wheel motion bending around the corner. That's the kind of bend that DeMarcus Ware had, and Flozell Adams used to have Fitz trying to block him in one-on-ones in practice. That's what I knew DeMarcus Ware had a chance to be putting on a gold jacket at the end of his career.
And it looks like he's getting ready to do just that. We'll be stunned if he is not a part of this Hall of Fame class based on everything we saw from that freak of nature during his career. But coming up next, he mentioned Dak Prescott, all the pressure on his shoulder. But are the Dallas Cowboys the team most worried about being put on upset alert heading into this weekend? We'll tell you that next here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Super Bowl championship, what can you possibly do to top this?
Win another one.
Joe, what do you remember most about the first game against the Raiders?
Tough game, physical game, and we know that they're going to come in here and bring it just like they did that game.
No one thought that Pittsburgh would be able to even get to the playoffs.
Playoffs. I got my swagger back.
Weekend's Eve here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline having a conversation about what is the likeliest upset on Wild Card Weekend, and we want you to chime in on the conversation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get on board. And Gojo, looking at the slate for Super Wild Card Weekend, what's the game that you got circled as the likely upset spot for the favorite team?
Yeah, you know what's interesting is I don't know if I've picked any of the upsets. I'm still waiting to kind of finalize a lot of that stuff. We'll talk to Aaron Dolan, by the way, one of our ESPN betting analysts here coming up in about 10 minutes, try and get your money right heading into Super Wild Card Weekend. So maybe I'll see if I can get some of her help before I think about pulling the trigger on any of these. But Chris, this isn't just because we talked to DeMarcus Ware. I think San Fran and Dallas, like, there is real potential there for this San Francisco team whose offense has one of the most creative rushing attacks, one of the most creative pieces in Deebo Samuel on the field, and a coach in Kyle Shanahan that I think, quite frankly, has the potential to go out there and outdo his counterparts in Mike McCarthy and Kellen Moore. Like, all of that combined with the Cowboys' offense that's underperformed for more majority of the season and a defense that thrives so much on takeaways, like, I'd be very worried if I was a Cowboys fan with this particular matchup.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys should be concerned about it as well. Now, the thing that I saw that was encouraging was in their regular season finale against the Eagles. Granted, it was against second and third string players. They prioritized the run game, and we felt like that has to be the engine for the Dallas Cowboys offense. They have to be balanced in order to get the best version of Dak Prescott. Keep it in mind, no Michael Gallup. Said Wilson is going to have to step up and fill those shoes, and I think he's more than capable. But it can't be a situation where you're asking Dak to drop back 40 to 45 times. I think you have to have some semblance of balance, and that's going to be hard to do against that San Francisco 49ers defensive front because they're very stingy when it comes to productivity in the run game. So I think that's going to have to be the battle that Dallas wages, being able to try to find balance on the offensive side of the ball, and then also dictating the complexion of the game. We know that Jimmy Garoppolo is not how Kyle Shanahan wants to win this game. He wants to win it on the ground, being able to run the football. You take that away from him by dictating the complexion of the game, by being able to score first, score often, and force San Francisco to abandon the run game by virtue of the scoreboard. So I think that has to be the mindset for this Cowboys team going into this matchup.
So I look at the Dallas Cowboys and say that's a team that could very really be worrying about their situation here based on just, again, the specifics of this matchup and what a disruptive team San Francisco can be up front on both sides. Chris, who do you think is most on upset alert?
Man, it's got to be the L.A. Rams, and it's because of Matt Stafford. 8 turnovers in the last 3 games, and I don't care what anybody that has to say about, oh, the turnovers don't matter or they're in meaningless spots. When your quarterback is giving the ball away at that rate and you're going up against a defense that's top 10 in takeaways and a defense that's as athletic and as fast as what the Arizona Cardinals are bringing to the party, you have to be worried. The one thing I will say is Arizona has struggled down the stretch. They haven't played their best football. The game against the Dallas Cowboys was about as good as they've looked in the past month and a half of the season. And so I would say that's probably the one thing that gives me a little cause for pause. But this is a Cardinals team that's proven that they can go into SoFi Stadium and run roughshod off of the L.A. Rams because they did it earlier in the year after the Rams had a huge win against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So to me, this is a likely spot for an upset. Arizona, division rival, has beat this team before. They have the confidence. I think they can go into that place and they can come out with a dub.
Yeah, Matthew Stafford and the variable there. I heard Dan Orlovsky, who is the one that was referencing a lot of those points about Matthew Stafford. He said it earlier today on First Take. This is the most pressure-packed stretch of games, starting with this one. Every game from here on out will be the most important Stafford has ever played here, because now it is going to be like the referendum on Carson Wentz at the end of the season. You have accomplished a lot in your career if you're Matthew Stafford, and we have always blamed the Lions for being that kind of franchise that sucks the joy out of any situation here. But now, especially based on the turnover issues we've seen the last couple of weeks, everyone's going to be looking at Matthew Stafford here. And while, Chris, I can look at the back end of the Rams defense right now that just had to go out and sign Eric Weddle. They were so desperate for bodies there. That's going to be a situation where we know this is going to be the judgment of Matthew Stafford in this game. Luckily for him, no DeAndre Hopkins on the other side for that Arizona Cardinals offense. I think a huge boost for the Rams.
Yeah, that's a huge boost for the Rams that they don't have to deal with D-Hop, but they have to deal with Kyler Murray, not just as a passer, but with his legs. And so being able to corral him, being able to keep him in check and not allowing him to get out on the edge of that defense and extend the down and give those receivers time to uncover downfield, I think that's going to be a huge problem for the L.A. Rams defense. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with this matchup. But you're right. This is the game. These are the types of games that Sean McVay went out and got Matt Stafford for, to be able to beat quality opponents, teams that from a talent standpoint are on equal footing with the L.A. Rams. And so Matt Stafford has to be the difference in this game. Sean McVay can't afford for his quarterback this time around to be a passenger. He has to be a guy that's the catalyst, and that remains to be seen on whether or not Matt Stafford can actually do that once we get into postseason. He's 0-3. Like, now it's time for him to step up. He's never had higher expectations going into the postseason, so it'll be interesting to see how he responds to that type of pressure, because this is a different seat that Matt Stafford is in now in comparison to where he was at for the majority of his career in Detroit.
Yeah, he backdoored his way to his first conference title, or his first division title in his career. Basically did it like European soccer group stage style in this thing. Now it's going to have to be taking the bull by the horns. And on that other side, I know the Rams offensive line statistically pass protects well, but this has been a unit that has struggled against marquee rushers. And boy, oh boy, a Chandler Jones-led D-line that just getting J.J. Watt back too might not be the one to try this out on if you're the Los Angeles Rams. So plenty to keep an eye out with all these teams heading into Super Wild Card Weekend. We've had our first 17-game regular season. We're back to this extended postseason, and that means there is money to be made. So coming up next, we will check in with one of our best and brightest on the ESPN Daily Wager side and find out where you can go ahead and make some cash this weekend. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming on ESPN+.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.